Do you have the word alpenglow here? Do you talk? And I'm from the mountains of Colorado, and when the sun goes down, you know, all the peaks of the mountains are just rosy and glowing, you know, as the sun sets and just shines on them. And that's how your faces look. You've just been looking at his face, and you're all just glowing like pink and rosy. You look so pretty. Oh, Jesus. Whew. Yes. Oh, my goodness. I've got no idea what I'm going to do. The only word that was in my head was wonder. You know, that's the place we live. We live in wonder. You know, when we live in that place of trying to control circumstance and situation, oh my goodness, how much frustration is that? But when we live in a place of wonder where everything we look at, we just wonder what's going to happen. Wonder, you know, what's God going to do next? You know, just living in that, you know, you can live in expectation of expecting him to do what you expect him to do because you want him to do this thing. And it can be a very frustrating place. But the place of wonder is, you know, go ahead and amaze me, God, with what you do. You know, and it's that place of letting go, just letting go. There's an expectancy that isn't an expectation, if that makes sense. You know, the expectancy is, oh God, you're going to amaze us. The expectation is, you know, I'm letting go of how I expect that this should end up. And it's going to end up even gooder than I thought, because he makes all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he loves us and he called us. So it's going to get really good. Yeah, really good. Really, it's going to get really good. And so that's the wonder is, you know, you look with wonder into his face and go, how are you going to do that? What are you going to do, God? And then he just shows you something and your mind is blown. This happens in the healing rooms all the time because we have miracles that happen and people get healed. And there was an 84-year-old woman who came into the healing rooms and she limped. And, you know, wasn't really using her right side. But she had back pain, so she wanted prayer for her back pain. And so we're talking to her a little bit, and she said, yeah, she had polio when she was a baby. And so for 84 years, her leg didn't work, the joints didn't work, and it was shorter. It hadn't grown to the full length. And her arm was the same. It was shorter, and the joints didn't work. You know, but she was an overcomer. She loved Jesus, and she just went on with life. But now her back was giving her pain at 84 years. And so we're ready to pray for her back pain, and one of our kids on the kids team, we have a kids team in the healing rooms, we call them our special forces. And he comes up, and he looks at her, and he goes, your leg's too short. And see, that's what we like. They have no filters whatsoever. Let's call it like it is. And so she tells him about polio, but he's not impressed at all. He goes, can we grow it out? And she had never thought about that. And he goes, yeah, yeah, sit down in the chair. So he gets her to sit down. He holds her legs out, and one is like considerably shorter than the other. And he just goes, grow! And the thing goes, whomp! And comes out the same length as the other one. Like, she's blown away because she feels this whole thing happening. And just, And we said, you know, stand up. Let's see what it's like. And as she stood up on two legs that were the same length, for the first time in 84 years, she found out that all her joints worked. Instantly, God just healed all the joints. Not like slowly working, not just boom. They all work. She's just blown away. And so I said, hey, what's something you've never been able to do? She said, well, I've never been able to walk up and down stairs properly. I said, hey, we have some stairs out in the hall. Can we try it? And so we went out in the hall, and she climbed up the stairs, and I got to see her face. You know, she turns around, And for the first time in her entire life, 84 years, she walks down the stairs with both legs perfectly normal.
Oh!
And, I mean, that's one of the things that I love about my job is I get to see faces when all of a sudden pain, years of pain, is gone. Moving her legs. So I took her to our testimony table where we have a recorder that types everything out because I forget so much. I mean, I kind of wish I had a recorder that told all the testimonies that you guys have been telling me last night and this morning. It's only been last night and this morning. Seems like a week or something. Doesn't it seem like a long time? But so many amazing healings that you've shared, and, you know, I just forget details. So I love the testimony recorder because I can read them afterwards and remember all the details. And so she's filling that out. I come back in about 10 minutes, and I walk by, and she says, look at this. And she picks up a water bottle, and she goes, I've never done this in my entire life. God had healed her arm in the same time that he healed her leg, and she was just discovering it.
Oh!
Oh, God. I'm in wonder at your goodness. Yeah, you surprise me with awe and wonder. You know, it says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, with all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, I don't want to forget the benefits. I mean, I love him and I love his benefits because they come together. It's not like, oh, I just love the benefits, because you don't get the benefits without him. You know, he comes with benefits. You know, and they just, it's like the train of his robe filling the temple. The benefits just come. The goodness comes. And so, you know, I just love thinking about and meditating on the things that he says happen because he's here. And because he's here, you know, miracles break out. He defies all the laws of physics. It's so much fun. Oh, Jesus. Amaze us again and again. You know, and so because of what Jesus did, we live in this open heaven. And, you know, we can think about what the earth is like, or we can think about, wow, heaven's inside of me. Isn't that what he said? He said, don't look for the kingdom over here or over there. The kingdom of heaven is where? Boom, right within. So there's a whole kingdom in here. Wow. There's a king. There's a Holy Spirit. All this stuff. Rivers of living water. Fountains springing up into everlasting. All this is happening inside me. And so, I mean, this is wonder. I just go, you know, that's ridiculous. It defies my intellect, but I just want to wonder about it. I want to think about those things. I want to lie in bed and meditate on a fountain springing up into eternal life. Eternal life. Who has eternal life? Anybody here have eternal life? Yeah. Eternal life isn't a whole bunch of time after we die. Eternal life is, it's life without beginning and without end. There is no beginning and no end to the life that now is flowing through us. There's a river of living water, a river of eternal life. The river of God is full of water, it says. And it's just flowing through my life. And so there's no beginning or end to the life that I am now participating in. And so I like, that's a benefit. I like to think about that. You know, we think about the timeline of a person's life. You know, and people are born and people die, but what about this, you know, like the blue sky behind the clouds, there's this endless life that I participate in. And the limitations of time don't define me. The unlimited eternity defines me. I know that's a little bit out there, but this is what wonder is. I like to think with awe and wonder about the things that he says about me. You know, and so the heavens are open. I live in an open heaven. I am an open heaven. We do sing and pray for revival. You know, we want to see the whole world look like heaven, like we were singing. We want to see revival in our cities, but I start with being a revival. I'm this walking revival. I'm having revival in here all the time. And so we walk around having revival, and then my revival bumps up against Josh's revival, and we have a little revival together. And, you know, it just kind of spreads. Oh. Boom. I tried this in the airport one time. I wanted to see. It was just an experiment. But we had been on a, it's a whole story about planes breaking down and being delayed and switching flights and having to stay in, you know, Copenhagen and then Chicago and all of this stuff. So nobody on this flight was getting to their destination, you know, within days of when they were supposed to get there. And so they finally put us up in a hotel. They picked us up at 6 in the morning in Chicago, and they said, we're finally going to take you to San Francisco. You know, we get to this flight, and the flight isn't actually there, and they're going to have to put us on the next flight. And, you know, and so here's this crabby group of people, you know, waiting in line. And I thought, I could fly with a crabby group of people or with a really happy people. I think I'll just try an experiment. Now I know there's joy inside of me, and there's life and, you know, a belly river of living water coming out. And so I thought, so maybe you guys could just stand up and pretend that you're the queue waiting, you know, and there's about 300 of you, and you're in line facing that way, and you're crabby. It's morning, and you are crabby. You've missed 2 days of flight, of work, of appointments. And so I thought, I wonder if without saying things, I could just, belly rivers. And so I just went down, and I just bumped into everybody. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. I mean, isn't this the strangest thing you've ever... I mean, have you ever had so many delays? Isn't this the weirdest thing ever? You know, and I just went back and forth. Everybody's cracking up on the line. It worked. I don't even know these guys, and boom, they're getting happy. Thank you. And so we all get in the airplane, and everybody's sitting down, and they're all talking across the aisles and back and forth. And I mean, that never happens in the airplane. And the flight attendant gets up and says, I'm so sorry about all, you know, the flights that you've missed. And they go, oh, no problem. We're good. We fly into San Francisco, and she gets up and she goes, you know, you have had so many delays and so many hardships, and yet this was the happiest flight I've ever been on. They all go, we love you. You're awesome. People are exchanging, you know, email addresses and phone numbers. It was so fun. I should do it more often. But I just wanted to try a little experiment that if I have heaven inside of me and, you know, in his presence is fullness of joy, and he's always in here, so there ought to be lots of joy in here. And so what if, I mean, they didn't have to laugh when I bumped into them. I don't know why they did. Something got on them and sparked that joy that's inside of them. And see, this is what we need. We need to realize what we carry. You know, because we carry a lot. There's a certain chain store that everybody would know if I said the name, but I'm not going to mention it. But I don't like to shop there. My wife likes to go there because there's stuff that she likes. Actually, there's a kind of bird seed I like from Rice Finches. They're the only place that has it. And so we go there sometimes, and she's ready to go, and I have to sit in the car and go, Okay, somebody's going to get happy in this store today. Because if you don't, you come in under the atmosphere of that store, and it's a really depressing place. I don't know if you ever noticed. You probably know what I'm talking about. I think they mistreat their workers or something. I don't know, it's just depressing. And and so there's intentionality in it. When you realize, wait, I'm in open heaven. Jesus opened heaven for me. He's the perfect son that the perfect father loves. And, oh, wait, I'm in him. Oh, the father loves me. Just the same love. I'm in his presence and there's fullness of joy. Now, what's fullness of joy? I don't have any idea, but I decided I could explore it. And so I've been playing with fullness of joy. And then one day the Lord said, I give you permission to be the happiest man on the planet. Yes! I'm so glad. I used to work with a group of kind of crabby Christians. Really, kind of like the people in line there. No, I mean, crabby, angry Christians. I mean, that should be an oxymoron. Really. But anyway, they were pretty crabby. And a couple of them came to my house one day and they said, this lady said, she wanted to tell me what she thought of me. She said, I think you're a phony. I went, oh, really? How come? Why is that? She goes, nobody's that happy all the time. I think you're faking it. My mind said, you know, real crabbiness or fake joy? Which would I prefer? I didn't say that to her, I promise. And I'm wondering, I'm thinking, you don't have to fake it. It's real. It comes with the king and his presence and his kingdom. It's all there to have. And so I'm processing in my, I'm an internal processor, so sometimes I don't say the things that I'm thinking. Sometimes I shouldn't say the things I'm thinking. But anyway, her friend said to me, yeah, why are you so happy all the time? You know, just like that. I'm going, it's an accusation. And so I just turn my attention to him who lives in me, and I go, why am I so happy all the time? And then I started getting wrecked. As wave upon wave of his love just hit me, you know, crashing on the shores of my soul, and just his love just washing over me, and I'm going under. You know, but I realize they're still there, so I kind of crawl back up and I go, because he loves me. It was the only answer I could give. And the guy goes, you act like you believe it. I have to confess that is my problem. I really believe he loves me. Now people ask me, you know, why are you so happy all the time? And I go, you know, the alternative sucks. I'm sorry if I said that in church, but it does. It sucks the life, the joy, the freedom. It sucks everything out of you. And it's about choices. We have choices. In 1994, I was in Rwanda. It was right at the end of that genocide, and I was with some friends who were Rwandese, and we were in Uganda, and the war was over. And so we were going in, we were bringing relief to kids and schools. We brought soccer balls and paper and pencils. I mean, they didn't have anything. And so we're, you know, going across the border. Like every 5 miles, there's a border check. And we all had to get out of the van, and they checked through all our stuff. And so this is 1994, and so I had cassette tapes. You know, I can tell by your gray hair that you guys know what cassette tapes are. He doesn't know what a cassette tape is. He's never used a cassette. He's never seen a check. He saw a check for the first time. Check written in a checkbook. Child of the 21st century. But anyway, we had cassette tapes of Christian rock and roll music. So at every border crossing, I gave, you know, the border guards, hey, here's some music for you. they were really happy to get it. On our way back out a week later, all the border crossings with all these guys with machine guns, you know, teenagers in camo with machine guns, they're all playing Christian rock and roll music, blasting out of their speakers. They didn't have anything else. Yes! That's not the point of the story. That's just a side story. Are we doing okay? Is it okay? Are these stories okay? They're going somewhere, I promise. Deeper into joy. I'm getting hot. So we get into Kigali, and it is so heavy. Everybody had people who were slaughtered. My friends, Ozzy and Mary, that I was with, Ozzy had 83 members of his clan were butchered. They're Tutsis, and they're butchered by the Hutus with machetes, and their bodies were thrown into the river, and the crocodiles were eating the bodies. And one of their nieces escaped by climbing over the bodies of the crocodiles to get to the other side of the river to Uganda. And the crocodiles didn't eat her because they were so full of all her relatives. I mean, this is everybody had these stories. I'm just in tears the whole time I'm there at the heaviness of it, and yet the people are so. They're just full of joy and full of life and hope in God and wanting to come back and, nourish their country with love. And so we're in the van one night, and it's pouring down rain, and we're trying to find a relative's house. And Ozzy is now the clan leader because he's the oldest male in the clan. And so it's his job now that he's in the country to bless the home of a niece that just got married. And if he doesn't, and he's in the country and leaves, then it's like he's dissed their marriage, and it's shame. And so we're trying to find it in the rain. It's dark. Ozzy's driving. Mary's supposed to have the directions. Husbands and wife, imagine if you can. But they can't find the house, and we're going, and it's pouring down rain, the streets are mud, they're hills, it's built on all these hills, so, we're in a Toyota van, but, you don't want to go down certain hills or you'll never get back up, and there's roving bands of people around fires and, just on the streets, and, people were just killing each other, and, so it's intense, it's really intense, and they're starting to get intense, and I'm in the back seat. Have you ever been in the back seat when, mom and dad are, you don't have to go there. But, it's really intense. And these are the most loving people I know, and they're in a heated argument. And all of a sudden, Ozzy goes, "No, I will not give up my joy. Jesus gave it to me a very long time ago, and I will not give it away." And all of a sudden, poof! The whole atmosphere in the van changed, and heaven was back. It was a choice. He made a choice that he wouldn't give away his joy. Circumstances didn't change. It's still a war zone. But he made a choice that he wasn't going to give up his joy, and the whole van benefited from it. We have a choice. I mean, I've not been in their situation. I mean, except that I was with them, but that's not been my life. I mean, I flew in with my wife and two of my kids who were like 10 and 14 or something, we flew into Bujumbura, Burundi airport to get there, and there were bombs going off outside the airport, and there's, my kids are going, "Oh, what a beautiful flowers, click, click, click," and the military's grabbing their cameras and shoving us in the airport, and we were just clueless. We didn't live in a war zone, but they did, and yet they knew that joy was a choice. And they could choose it, or they could come under the circumstances. And see, this is our choice when, whether it's healing rooms, or whether it's, praying for anybody, or it's an economic disaster, or anything, or a worldwide pandemic. It's our choice to give up our joy or to keep it. But see, we have a kingdom inside of us that happens to be ruled by joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. And I don't know, somehow the idea got out in church that, if you're crying, then you're experiencing the Holy Spirit. But if you're laughing, you're obnoxious and you ought to get out. But church should be the happiest place in the world. Because our sins are gone. Our shame is gone. Freedom has come. There's this gospel. It's really good. There are promises. Really awesome promises. Great and precious promises, it says. Whereby we become partakers of his divine nature. You know, and so, you know, we live in this open heaven, and we need to remind ourselves and walk in it with intentionality. And there are atmospheres everywhere, and we need to decide that my bubble is bigger than the atmosphere I'm going into. We used to go to pagan festivals. My wife and I, for like 20 years, we led teams into pagan festivals. I love going to them. The people are so pagan. And they're not pretending they're anything else. And we have so much success there. But we were, you know, we're just going and loving people. We have our own camp and we, you know, feed people and, you know, love people and see miracles happen. But some of our young men were just helping some of the Krishna temple people to carry their rice into their temple. You know, so we all were just helping them carry rice into their temple. Some of our Christian brothers went, ooh, you shouldn't go in there. You'll get slimed by the blue demon. I went, excuse me. The one who lives in me is greater than that blue demon. They got to watch out because when I come in their temple, the glory of God is coming in. You know, Chris, I had Christian friends who said, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Why are you going to those pagan festivals? I went, we're the light of the world. They don't have any light. And so we go in to be the light, just to be the presence of God. I mean, the first year we tried a lot of things, tried witnessing, tried giving out tracts. None of that worked. The only thing that worked was going and being the presence of God. And then I remember a friend of mine and I were walking through the woods just talking about Jesus, just loving him. And we stumbled upon this camp of witches. And one of these witches goes, oh, who are you guys? And I said, oh, I'm Chuck and this is Ben, my friend. They go, no, you're glowing. Of course we are. We weren't walking through the woods trying to go, get the glow on, get the glow on. Glowing doesn't come through striving. Glowing comes through wonder and enjoying who he is and the open heaven we live in. And so we need to be, you know, just in awe and wonder, exploring the open heaven. I went to a restaurant in Reading the other day, and I was waiting for my friend to meet me. So I'm sitting at lunch, but I'm not ordering anything because I'm just waiting for my friend. And the waiter comes by, and he just kind of leans into the table and hangs there. And he said, do you need anything? I said, no, well, this water's good. You know, how you doing? He goes, well, I wasn't doing too well, but I came into your bubble, and I really like it here. I said, well, we'll have some more. I went into a Best Buy. I needed some kind of adapter for something. And this, you know, and the guys in there, they're usually right on you and, you know, helping you out, at least in our store. And this guy comes up and he, you know, I'm telling him what I want. And he starts getting really weird and fidgety and, you know, and he disappears and runs away. Thought, huh, that's so weird. I finally found what I needed and left. Well, a student of mine worked at Best Buy, and he saw me the next day in class, and he said, hey, were you in Best Buy yesterday? I went, yeah. He goes, yeah, I saw you. I went, yeah. He goes, did you notice the guy who came to help you? And I went, well, help would be a different kind of word than what I'd use. But yeah, there was a guy who came over. He acted really weird. He said, yeah, I've been witnessing to this guy, you know, for months, and he didn't want anything to do with it. And then he tried to help you, and he came running over to me, and he said, do you know that guy? And my friend said, yeah, he's my teacher. And he goes, I don't know. When I go stand near him, I start feeling drunk. Yes! Hallelujah. It's nice to get confirmation sometimes. I didn't try to get him drunk. I'm trying to get him to help me. We are an open heaven because of what Jesus did. I'm going over this point again and again and again, but, we have access, favor, miracles, life, healing. I heard that. There's a lady laughing in the church house over there. I was in Switzerland in this very serious Swiss church. Very serious. And I was just being goofy. And the first third of the church, it was a long, skinny church, and first third was kind of laughing along, and the second church was looking around, and the back of the third of the church was like this. And I said something funny, and the people in the front started laughing. And I looked up, and I said, it's okay to laugh in church. And the front third of the church goes, yeah, yeah. And the middle third goes, is it? And the back third went, I guess my metron didn't reach past the first third of the church. Oh. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In the midst of all the trials of life, it's the opposite. And so we need to know that what we carry, and we don't come under other things. And if an atmosphere comes to us, we come in the opposite spirit. So where hopelessness comes in because of people's circumstances, diseases, sicknesses, conditions, they've lost hope, we carry hope. We don't take on hopelessness. We bring hope. I remember I was in a city in the U.S. and on a street that was known for sin. The pastor there, he said, I want to drive you down the street, just see how dark it is. This is where all the sin happens. And so I'm in the car with him, and we're driving down the street. He says, do you feel the darkness? I said, I don't know, I just feel Jesus. See, we're the light of the world. We're not defined by the darkness around us. And we've got to realize that we carry what the world needs. And, whether it's healing or hope or, provision or anything, we're open heavens. And everything from heaven can flow through us. And we got to practice it. Because if you don't believe it or don't think it could happen, you go, yeah, let's see if that happens. And it doesn't. You go, just like I thought. But if you go, I don't think there should be any limits to this. Jesus didn't have limits. I'm going to try it out. We used to, at these pagan festivals, we'd feed thousands of people. And we would, because it's in the woods and you have to hike in, you have to bring all your stuff, and there's no electricity, there's no running water, technically, except that we would take about a mile of black plastic coiled up hose, and we'd go up and we'd tap mountain springs, and we'd bring them down. We'd have, fresh running spring water right there in our kitchen. But we had a really clean kitchen. We made delicious food. A lot of the camps, there are 20,000 people at these festivals. And they go on for 2 weeks, and we camp in the middle of them. The only Christians in the midst of the darkness. And we walk off a little, an acre of land in the midst of the forest, and we say, okay, this is heaven right here. We pray the boundaries, and we worship God, and we love each other, and we just make heaven there. People come into our camp, and they go, whoa. What is this place? The voices have stopped in my head. Whoa, I feel safe here. Who are you? They know the atmosphere. And so we feed thousands of people, and we try to make the best food around. Like other people make rice and beans, which is okay, but gets boring. And so I'm from Colorado, and so we have hunters in Colorado. You guys know about elk. And so we'd bring coolers of frozen meat, and we'd bring our vegetables and everything, and we'd have elk steak fajitas for 400 people we'd make, you know, and just really, really delicious. And word would get out with the Bread of Life kitchen. They'd go, elk steak fajitas at the Bread of Life. And, you know, there'd be a queue a quarter mile long coming in. And so we'd serve up, you know, huge helpings on their plate. And there'd always come a time where the spoon would scrape the bottom of these 20-gallon pots. And you'd have this thought, I should give smaller helpings and it'll go further. And then something would rise up in me and I go, no, my God's a God of abundance. And I put the lid partially over the pot so I wouldn't look into the lack in the pot. And I'd scoop out, I'd just look people in the eyes, and for an hour I'd scoop out, scraping the bottom every single time. This scraping, loving, and it would go on for an hour until everybody was fed. And when everybody was fed, you look in the pot and there's nothing there. I mean, how does he do that? I have no idea. It's called a miracle. But in awe and wonder, we just expect it. You know, we see the line queuing up and we look at the pot and we go, the whole team gets in there and goes, Lord, multiply it. And just in wonder, we watch him do it. We don't check it every 2 minutes to see if it's really going to happen. We just go with it. And he, I mean, every day this happens. We see food multiply, water multiply, you know, everything multiply because we're in a place where you can't get a lot of it. And so we're in open heaven, and there are no limits in heaven. And where we face the limitation of this world, miracles break out. Now, I know it sounds preposterous, and you probably think I'm kind of nuts. Yes, I am. I'm nuts for Jesus. You know. But we see miracles happen all the time, and this is what we have access to. And so we want to realize I live in an open heaven. I am an open heaven. I have access. I have an inheritance. I'm a co-heir with Christ of all things. That's what it says in the Word. The Holy Spirit lives in me and he takes what belongs to Jesus and manifests it to me. Yep, he's the deposit in me that guarantees the inheritance. I mean, that's pretty remarkable in itself. So, Grady, right? So, Grady, I came into $1 billion. I don't know how it happened, but it's in my bank account. And I would like to make you my heir. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
this is the deal. Yes.
So, this is what I'm going to do. Do you have a bank account?
Yeah.
Good. I'm just going to drop $250,000 in your bank account as a deposit. Okay. And then you can draw on that. And then, you know, when that runs out, it comes out of my account.
Okay.
Would that be okay?
Sounds good.
Is that a good deal?
Yeah,
okay. You know, so in that scenario, you know, $250,000 is the deposit on his inheritance. That's a portion of it. What's the deposit on our inheritance? Holy Spirit, who happens to be who? God. I mean, God is the deposit on our inheritance. That's ridiculous. See, heaven doesn't work like earth. It's bigger. It's preposterous. It doesn't make sense. And when we get this and we look at heaven in awe and wonder and look at the promises in awe and wonder and go, yeah, I'll have some of that. I mean, Grady didn't look at me and go, you don't look like a billionaire. Show me your bank account. He goes, yeah, I'm in. And that's how God wants us. He's got preposterous promises. And he just wants people who go, yeah, I'm in. You want to know a preposterous promise? No?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, where two or more of you agree as touching anything on earth, anything it says, right? Anything. Two of you on earth agree as touching anything, it will be done by my Father who's in heaven. That's preposterous. Now, we get to say, oh, I tried that once, it didn't work. And we ignore the promise. Or we go, yeah, I'm going to try that. and try it and try it. And I'm going to keep playing with that one because that was a promise. We had the car fire. It was a huge fire that, you know, just wiped out about a third of Reading. And I was in the thick of it, and my family got evacuated for 5 days. Our house didn't burn down, praise God, but a lot of our friends did. And I was teaching at a YWAM base, and the fire was like raging. It just had blown up. It had jumped the river. The sky was like apocalyptic. It was crazy. And so I said, okay, I read that scripture to him. I said, who wants to agree with me as touching something? And they go, yeah, okay, the fire goes out, the fire stops here. And so we, you know, we stood and we got into it. The worship team was with us, and we just started declaring the end of the fire. And then, you know, at the end of all this, the police come and they say, everybody out of here, we're evacuating. The fire's raging towards us. And so the firemen had actually withdrawn because it had blown up so hugely in these neighborhoods and jumped the river. They thought, you know, Interstate 5 is the next fire line. The city's going to burn. And everybody had backed away, and they were driving us all out. It was apocalyptic. It was crazy. And, you know, I was stuck in traffic, you know, for 2 hours just trying to go a mile or so because everybody's evacuating their cars at the same time. So I finally stayed at a friend's house. My wife and my daughter and grandkids were at another friend's house, and we got together in the morning. And what we found is that night, at that very time, the fire stopped and the winds changed and it burned back into the forest. Yes. Yes. Oh, somebody's got to try this stuff. You know, we change the weather like we were showing, you know, with the blue sky and everything. But and a lot of it's for fun, and God, he doesn't mind us having fun with it. But we're thinking, you know, we want to stop hurricanes too. We don't want to see cities destroyed, islands. I used to go sailing in the Caribbean for 2 weeks in the summertime on a 52-foot yacht. It was a ministry trip. Really. We held a revival school for four of us on the crew. We took 10 young men who were raised cessationist and were in university, but wanted to know if there was a Holy Spirit. So we took them on a two-week cruise in the Caribbean and introduced them to miracles, signs, wonders, the Holy Spirit. Miracles in nature, miracles everywhere. We saw revivals in yacht clubs. It was so much fun. I'm waiting. This summer we're supposed to start up again. COVID shut down our sailing trips. But some of the islands in the Caribbean got wiped out by hurricanes, and we thought, no, that's not okay. We want to practice so that we can stop hurricanes. And we know it's not us, but there's something that stands up when we know we're in open heaven, and a bunch of us who are in open heaven stand up against injustice, unrighteousness, violations of God's love, and go, no, no, this isn't happening on our watch. You know, this is what intercession's about, what prayer's about, what changing the world through our stand of being in open heaven and taking ground and agreeing. And see, we've agreed that cancer's not okay. And so we're seeing so many cases of cancer being healed. We love it. It's wonderful. I was just in England, and this young man had an inoperable brain tumor. And they'd done radiation, they'd done chemo, they'd done everything. It couldn't shrink, it was huge. They said, there's nothing we can do. He's a believer, and he actually got excited when they said, there's nothing we can do. Because he goes, okay, God, I'm just all yours. And so he came to this church service we did that night, and it was a Sunday night, and we prayed for him, and the presence of God was powerful, and things were happening. And so the very next day, he said, I've got to go and get an MRI. I know something happened. And it was Monday, and it was the day of the Queen's funeral. And so traffic in London was crazy. Hospitals were crazy. It was a bank holiday, and it was just a mess. But he made it, and he waited and got in to the doctor, and they took an MRI. And the doctor comes out and goes, I don't know how to say this. And he goes, oh, just tell me. I mean, they're so British. I've got a little video, and they're being so polite in the video. But he's basically saying, just give it to me. She goes, well, let me show you a picture. This is your brain before, and this is the mass. And this is the picture right now. And there's this little dot. That's all that's left of the mass on this brain. Oh, shoot. How does he do that? I've got a crazier story than that even. This happened years ago in Colorado Springs. There was a man, a young man, a 30-year-old man, father of kids, young kids, and he had a tumor on his brain stem, and the roots of the tumor were wrapped around his brain stem so that they couldn't operate. I mean, you know, they'd be cutting all his, you know, his spinal cord and everything. And so they said, there's nothing we can do. And so everybody prayed, and, you know, we're expecting just a miracle to happen. Well, what happened was the doctor said, you know, there's nothing we can do, but maybe we could just open you up and explore and see what is this like. And so he agreed to that. They put him under, they, you know, were in the operating room, they opened up his neck, and here's this tumor that's just roots all wrapped around, and all of a sudden, all the legs and the roots just unraveled, and the tumor fell off on the table. I don't care how you do it, God, just go ahead and amaze us in awe and wonder. And so, you know, this is the excitement and the awe and wonder, and the reason that I tell so many testimonies is now you've heard them, you can't not hear them. It's in there. No. I know God can do something crazy that I never imagined. And so now, we had another woman, this beautiful Swiss lady, Doris, who is, I think she was in her 70s, and she had, 2 years before I met her, she'd had cancer, and the doctor, you know, said, Doris, you've got this cancer. And she was a believer, so she went to her church and they prayed, and all the cancer left her body. And the doctor, you know, saw that that happened. Well, 2 years later, the doctor says, and Doris, you know, I know that your God healed you of cancer before, but you have cancer and it's back, and it's metastasized everywhere. It's in your lymph system. It's everywhere. There's actually nothing we can do. Well, Doris gets excited because she knows God. He healed her before. And she goes, yes. He goes, no, Doris, you don't understand. No, this is really bad. And she goes, yes. You know, he's thinking, Doris doesn't get it. You know, she's in denial. He goes, Doris, no, it's impossible. There's nothing that we can do. And then he just uses a word. He's not a Christian. He uses this word. He goes, you need a miracle. She goes, yes. He goes, oh. And so to humor her, he just takes out his prescription pad. I should have got it. I've got a picture of it. And he wrote down ein Wunder, one miracle in German, on his prescription pad, and he gave it to her. She took that prescription and went right to the Lord, ho, and got her miracle. All cancer left her body. She came back to the doctor. Oh, Jesus. In awe and wonder. She's just a woman of wonder. And this is who we want to be. Just in awe and wonder. That's what makes it happen. Not our intellectual, you know, figuring it all out, you know, linear thought, not the control freak up here that's trying to figure out everything. Turn to your neighbor and just say, there's a control freak up here. Don't point at your husband's head or your wife's head. No, at your own head. No, we all have that rational wanting to be in control and make things happen. But if we could make things happen, everybody get healed. And so we've got to realize, wait, this control freak figuring it out is not getting everybody healed. I think I'll come to you in awe and wonder. Because your promise that all can be healed. And I'm going to go with that. And so there are a few things that we've learned about how to approach in awe and wonder. And one of them is that just to, you know, just to hold on to that joy that's inside and know that joy and never let the atmosphere around us take over, but always to nurture the atmosphere of heaven inside. You know, and the healing supernatural. It's like anybody who here prays in tongues ever? Anybody ever pray in tongues? Okay, so how many of you have ever prayed in tongues? Like you felt like I'm going to pray in tongues the whole drive from here to Boise, and you get about 10 minutes in, and you hear a voice in the head going, "You're just making this up." Anybody ever hear that? You know, your intellectual mind can't understand tongues; it doesn't make any sense, and you think it's stupid. But it's not. See, healing is miraculous like tongues. It doesn't make sense. And so we've just got to let it be supernatural. Not try to make it. Not try to control it. But the one thing that we do know is that sickness and disease are not our identity. And this is what happens so many times if we're long-term in illness. It begins to become somewhat of our identity. And we've got to divorce ourselves from that identity. No, that's not my identity. That's a condition that I'm under right now, but is not who I am. Because if it's who you are, you'll keep being that person. We had a woman who was in a wheelchair for 30 years. And she got gloriously out of the wheelchair. We had a picture of the wheelchair. She's walking around. And she walked around, you know, not like, "Oh, I'm just trying out these legs." No, she was just walking. Everybody was amazed. The strength just came in. And she went back to her church after that meeting, and she walked around with the church. And then, you know, I'm talking to her because I'm following up. I'm wanting to know what's happening. And she goes, "I don't know what I'm going to do because I'll have to give up my disability. I've lived on it for 30 years. I went, "Oh, no, don't go there, please." Ah. But sometimes it's hard when it's become your identity. How do I give this up? Everybody's taking care of me because of this. And all of a sudden I need to get a job? I don't even know how to do that. Yeah, it's going to be an adjustment. But you're going to find out who God made you to be apart from a condition, an illness, a handicap, or whatever. And that's the adventure in awe and wonder. Hold on with wonder because God's going to take you through. And, you know, don't ever let your condition define you and be your identity. And help your friends not to make that define them. It's not. And we need to learn better words. You know, it's not the wheelchair guy. No, it's the guy who happens to be in a wheelchair. It's not the autistic kid. No, it's the kid who has autism, but he might not have it very much longer because we've seen miracles. We need to pay attention to our words because we want to define the person, not by their condition. So I'm just going over some different points that have kind of been in what we've been talking about for the last two sessions, but you know, just to pinpoint him. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And how are we doing? It's now 7:30. Pretty soon we just better do some miracles, I think. So while we're setting the atmosphere, we're not coming under someone else's atmosphere. We need to know what heaven's atmosphere is like. It's full of joy, hope, love, peace, life. It's full of adventure and transformation. It's full of fun. And so we need to change the atmosphere. It's full of joy. We went into, I was in New York City. We were doing a healing conference, and we got a call from this pastor that said a person in their church was in a hospital in New York, and she had terminal cancer. She was in intense pain. They thought the cancer now was in her brain as well as her body. You know, and it turned out she couldn't move. If she moved even an inch, she'd just be in tears with so much pain. They had her on pain meds, but it wasn't working. She had a neck brace on because if she turned her head, she would just cry out in pain, and it would, you know, just wreak havoc through her body. And so they asked if we would go, and we're going, "Yeah, we'd love to go pray for her." So we come to, I mean, New York City, it's a really big place. The hospital was like a city. I mean, I'd never been in a hospital that big. And because we didn't know what we were doing, somebody was coming out a door, and we just went in the door and didn't realize you're supposed to go the other way, and then they check all your metal and guns and all that stuff. Well, we got in. We didn't have guns, but we got in with that. And so we're wandering around the hospital, and we see the cops and the guys, the guards and everything. We go, oh, we don't want to go that way because they'll know we didn't come through. So we're loose in a hospital, a giant hospital. We don't quite know where we're going, so we're exploring, and we're getting really happy. I mean, like, we're really laughing. We're just nuts laughing in a hospital. And so we finally find the floor in the hall. I mean, it was a maze. And we're coming down, and we're just in hysterics, and we're trying to be a little bit quiet. And so we come to the place, and they say, well, that's her room right there. And she's, like, crying out in pain. They said, she's with the doctor. You'll have to wait till the doctor leaves, and then you can go in and see her. And so, I mean, we're just, like, loaded. And so we just decide to walk the halls and, you know, just leave some joy and some little piles of glory. And I went in all the restrooms and just went, exploded joy into them. I don't know if that works, but hey, wouldn't it be fun to see somebody come into the restroom and just get wrecked with laughter? Might as well try it. I mean, I was so charged. And so we finally come back, and they say, you can go in and see her. And she's on this bed, and she's in intense pain, and she can't budge. And we're just suppressing laughter. And so I said to her, you know what? I think God wants to release the joy of heaven over you. Would that be okay? She goes, yeah, I could use some joy. I said, well, my team and I, we're just going to laugh over you if that's okay. You see, I've seen miracles happen just through laughter, but you don't go into somebody lying in bed in cancer and go, ha, ha, ha. Somebody will get offended. And so, you know, she agreed that she really needed some joy and would like to hear some laughter. So we just start laughing, and we are laughing like crazy. You know, she's lying there, her skin's kind of yellowish green, and the whites of her eyes are brownish yellow, and, you know, she's in pain and all gaunt, and she can't hardly breathe, and, you know, just lying there stiff, and we start laughing, and we're laughing, and we're laughing, and, you know, she can hardly breathe, but then she starts laughing. And she starts laughing, and we're laughing, and she's laughing. We're all laughing hysterically. Her skin turns pink. The whites of her eyes clear up. She's laughing and laughing and laughing. She's moving, but not crying out in pain. The nurses come in, and they go, what's happening in here? We go, I don't know. It got really funny. She goes, we hear nothing but screaming out of here all the time. How are you moving? And she goes, I don't know, but it's so funny. And so she ended up sitting up, and she's laughing. All the pain left her body. She could breathe. So we didn't know what happened. She said she's anxious about it because, I mean, they're wanting to put her in hospice, but they also are taking her for a test the next day because they said there's a brain tumor. She's got a brain tumor, and they want to find out the size of it, and, you know, is there anything they can do, or is it just, you know, put her in hospice and that's the end. And so, you know, we just prayed and got rid of all that fear and released peace and more joy. And she's just laughing and happy and sitting up, and everything's different. And the nurse is going, I don't know what you guys are doing, but this is good. And so, you know, we finally left. We had a meeting that night we had to go to. The next day she calls up and she goes, no tumor on the brain. Oh! She said, but please keep praying because tomorrow they want to put me in hospice. And so, you know, we're praying. Well, it was Sunday night that we went to see her. It was Monday that there was no tumor. Friday she calls up and she goes, I'm home. So, I don't even remember praying. We just laughed. You see, you release the opposite of what you're coming against. You know, there was fear. There was, you know, anxiety. There was hopelessness. There was pain. And we just brought the joy of heaven. But we, you know, we asked her to invite us into that. You know, that she was willing. I mean, if she said I don't want anybody laughing in here, I don't know what we would have done. But she didn't. She welcomed us. And so, you know, Just know that we carry the opposite spirit of what we see, and we're bringing it in. You know, we honor the person, but not their condition. You know, where there's chaos, we want to bring peace. Where there's lack, we want to bring abundance. Where there's discouragement, we bring hope. Where there's fear, we bring love. Where there's depression, we bring joy. And then, like I shared when we were, you know, when I coached you through praying, we pray short and then have them check it out. It's not our long-winded prayers that heal people. It's Jesus. We were in Wheaton, Illinois, doing this little conference, and I was coaching everybody to do short prayers, and there was a woman with MS who was in a wheelchair, and she was in pain, and so there was a long-winded prayer praying for her. And there was another guy on the team that said, he told us not to pray long prayers. And this long-winded prayer is just going and going and going. And I think that sometimes we get going because we don't believe anything's going to happen. We're hoping. We're trying to convince God. We're trying to convince ourselves. You know, we're just talking. Don't do that. It doesn't heal. Just say, I'm not going to do that. Did you all say that? And so I say, okay, we're going to wrap it up. And so the long-winded prayer, you know, stop praying. And the guy goes, I just got to do this thing. I saw a picture. And he tells the lady in the wheelchair, he says, hey, I just saw this picture of this. It was like a coma. It was like a pitchfork kind of thing stuck in your back. Do you have pain in your spine? She goes, yeah, a lot of pain. He said, I don't know. I feel like we're supposed to pull it out. She goes, go for it. So he got his friends, and they pulled this thing and pulled it out. And she goes, ah! He said, all the pain just left. You know, they got a prophetic picture of something to do. And he was waiting for the prayer to stop praying. Okay, so all of a sudden she's in complete, you know, no pain. And she's sitting in the wheelchair without pain, which is a wonderful thing. Well, he wrote me, I got the message. It was months later. He was actually going to the college there, taking a course in comparative religions. And so he came to this charismatic healing meeting to, you know, talk about what that end of the spectrum looks like. And all his friends are more on the cessationist end of the spectrum. So he's back and he's telling people about this. And then he goes out to lunch at a restaurant with all his friends from the college. And, you know, they're talking about their lessons. And a couple months later, this, you know, beautiful woman walks up to him and she says, do you remember me? And he goes, no, I don't really. She says, I was the lady in the wheelchair with MS that you prayed for and pulled the thing out of my back 3 months ago. He goes, whoa. She said, I have no pain and I'm walking. Whoa, Jesus. This could happen for you. And so, you know, we pray short. We ask God for a picture of what to do, and then we do it. Okay, so we're going to do it. Enough talking. Let's do tell and show. This is tell and show. So we have time. So what I'd like to invite my guys up. I don't know if I told them this, but we're going to ask for words of knowledge of things that are in the room, and I want to share a little bit about words of knowledge first. Words of knowledge are not like roulette. It's not like, what are you healing tonight? Brrr. Oh, right shoulder. It's my left knee. Oh, man. He's healing everything. But sometimes he just wants you to know that he sees you, and he's calling you to himself. You know, remember blind Bartimaeus? He was blind, hence the name, Blind Bartimaeus. I guess it was his identity. You know, so he's screaming out, Jesus, have mercy on me. He heard that Jesus healed blind people, and he wanted some of that. And he's being obnoxious, and he's not quitting. And so Jesus says to his disciples, he says, hey, you guys, go over and tell him I want him to come to me. That's what a word of knowledge is like. It's Jesus saying, hey, guys, you call this one out. I want that person to know I want him to come to me. You know, he's going to heal everybody. I mean, that's his purpose. But he just wants some of you to know that, hey, he sees you. He knows your condition. And so what I want you to do is if any of us up here call out one of those words and you have that condition, I just want you to stand up and just take it. Just reach up and grab it and hold on to it. We can pray for you later, but you have permission to just get healed right when the word is released. We see that happen all the time. We've actually seen, you know, call out a word of knowledge and somebody, you know, this one girl, her father had that condition, and she texted him, and he texted back, and he got healed over a text message. That's really cool. So, yeah, God, we wait on you. When we hear that word that speaks of our condition, we just want to jump up and grab it from you. You're here, Jesus. This place is full of the atmosphere of heaven. Yep, the healer's in the room. Yep. And if it says, if they say right shoulder and it's your left shoulder, take it. Just take it. I found that dyslexic words of knowledge work.
Okay. The first one we're going to start with, and I got a heart condition. So if you got a heart condition, just get up, please. Just stand up.
Yep, any kind.
Yes, yep. Any kind of heart condition. I just want to release a testimony. I was on another ministry trip last year, and I got the same word of knowledge, we called it out, and it was actually the pastor of the church didn't tell anyone besides the leadership team that he had a very serious heart condition. And we just prayed for him. He went to the doctor literally the next day. We were there on a Sunday, and we got a text from him. No issues found. Have the heart of a 25-year-old.
Yes. Yes.
So, Father, I just thank you for any condition that is in the room right now. I thank you for new hearts.
Yes.
We just go into the storehouses of heaven. And give everyone here that's standing a new heart.
Yes.
I thank you for a new life. A pumping
yes.
heart. Doing everything it's supposed to do.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Whew. Yeah, I'm going to pass it along. Yeah, we'll pray for everybody at the end that needs it, but you have permission to get a new heart right there. Don't wait.
So I actually get reminded of a story from like a couple of years ago where a guy dislocated his shoulder and it kept popping out and it kept like hurting him more and more. And so if you ever had a dislocated shoulder and it's still hurting and it's still like you're still struggling with it, could you please stand up? All right.
Yes, come on.
And then I also had that that you stepped on your knee a little bit weird, and your knee popped, and since then you have knee problems. It could be right or left.
All right. Yeah, just take it.
Boom. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for just healing right now, life, just life abundantly, life in you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have shooting pain through your left foot or your right side between your intestines and your lungs, can you stand up?
Yes. Yes. Yep, I'll take it. Hey, I want to play. I want to play too. Oh, I've got a mic.
This is where the anointing is.
And I'll just come over here. If you have migraines or suffer from migraines or headaches, just stand up and take it. Just reach out and yep, give them that migraine. Get rid of it. Boom. Yes. Yes. Whew, yep, peace coming in. Yes. Headaches leave. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Yeah, and
I got
And I get one more too. Oh, come on, coach, put me in. I want to play. So, tumors of any kind, but cancer for sure. You know, any cancerous tumors, any cancer, cancer of any organ, any form of cancer or tumors. Go ahead and stand up if you have any of those things and want to get rid of them. Yes, come on. Oh.
I just heard liver, like any problems in the liver, like one liver is like smaller than the other one.
Oh, you only have one liver. Kidneys, you got two.
Oh, kidneys, it was kidneys.
English second language.
If you have any problems with your organs, just stand up.
Any old organ. Take it. Organ problems, yes. Right. Yeah, pancreas. I heard pancreas, too.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Yeah, we just release healing over that. And, okay, I think that's the last one. I got issues that you have from childhood on, even from birth. So if that... It's something that you have, you know, such a just a malfunction from birth on. Yeah, we just release healing over that too.
Yep.
In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you.
All right. Got anything? We took yours. We can share. Okay. So. Right now, just check your situation out and see if there's an improvement in whatever was spoken. If there's a noticeable improvement, just move around a little bit. And if you're sensing an improvement, something's happening, just jump up and wave your hands. We just want to see, you know, oh, whoo, boom, ho, yes, whoo, okay. Yeah, okay, that's called breakthrough. Breakthrough is in the room already. Whoo, okay. So we're going to take that breakthrough, and now we're going to pray for the people that need it. So if you stood up for any of those words, go ahead and stand up now. And maybe you had more than one. I don't know. Maybe you need a full body overhaul. He can do it. Okay. So the rest of us who are sitting down, we're going to be the ministry team, so we need to go and pair up with these people. So if you're standing, raise your hand, and then everybody else go find somebody who's standing, and just be their partner. Don't start praying, just be their partner. Introduce yourself, tell them what your name is, meet them, you know, and just, yep. So when you have a partner, put your hand down. I'm going to get up here so I can see everybody. Okay, so there's still some people over on this side that need partners. There's a lady in the back, so... Yep, move around, find the people that have their hands up. Yeah, there's a gentleman right up front here in the middle. He needs a partner. Kids can play this game. They're really good at it. Okay, wave your hands if you don't have a partner. There are two people right over here. There's a lady there. Okay, anybody over here does not have a partner yet? Wave your hand a little bit. Everybody have partners? Anybody? Oh, that lady's waving. He's waving her hand. Do you need a partner, ma'am? Or maybe she's just praying. Okay, everybody have a partner? Okay. And now you know each other's names, right? Because you asked. Okay, so can I have your attention, please? Okay. I'm having him turn the mic up because when you guys get talking, you don't even hear me. Okay. Ooh, that was too loud maybe. So what I want to coach you because I want you to keep your prayers short because it's not your long prayers. But what I want you to do first is I want us all to turn our attention to the one who lives inside and the one who's in the room. Jesus, you're here. You say that when we gathered in your name, you're here in the midst of us. And so we honor your presence in the room just based on your word. You say you're here, and we say thank you. Thank you. Yep, we want to align ourselves to that fact that you're in the room with us, and you're the healer. And Holy Spirit, We thank you that you're here living in us. Yeah, you came to move inside. Your word says the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Yep, giving life to our physical bodies. So thank you for being here. We just turn our attention to you. And now, the one who's ministering, I just want you to ask God to show you, you know, is there anything, what is he saying and what is he doing? Is there something that he wants you to do, like he had us laugh over that lady? Is it, you know, a prophetic act, anything? Yeah, just wait on him a minute. And we'll just say, God, show us if there's something that you're doing that we want to participate in. Yeah. What are you saying? What are you doing? Thank you. Okay, if you got an impression from God about anything, would you raise your hand and just, okay, so a bunch of people got impressions, and that's great. That means you get to do that. If you didn't get impression, it just means you're going to command that condition to leave their body. So does everybody know what the condition is? Did you ask each other? If you don't, go ahead and ask, you know, what's the condition that they're standing for? But you only have one sentence to tell them, so do it quick. Because we're not wanting a history, we're wanting a target. Okay? So okay, so now you know the target. Yep, and now you, so we're going to command that thing to be healed. Whether it's a sickness, command it to go. If it's pain, command it to go. Whatever it is that's violating their body, we command that thing to leave them right now. Yep, and then do anything that you see. If they need a new organ, we can put him in the elevator to heaven and just get a new organ from the new organ room in heaven. Yeah, just go ahead and minister. Command the negative condition to cease, the tormenting condition to cease right now. Just command that thing to stop. Command the pain to leave. Command that thing to happen, and then release healing. Now call forth the healing of that. Yep, a new heart. A liver made whole. Yep, peace into the brain. Just release the attributes of heaven into their body. Yep, and just bring healing. Just pour healing into them. Yep. Just release a little more healing, a little bit of love, some hope. Okay. Whoop. Okay, can I have your attention, please? Okay. Time to stop talking for just a moment, please. You guys are talkers. You have so much fun. You don't want to quit. Okay, shh. Now it's time for the person to test it out. They're going to begin to see what's happening and what's changing in their bodies. If there's more motion, pain's diminished. If some things you can't test, but you just want to sense how God's moving. If you feel heat on your liver or, you know, or just anything. Any evidence of his presence in your body that you're feeling. You know, you might feel warmth or tingling. Is anything happening or freedom, more motion? Just looking for any change in your condition. Yeah, just check it out for about 30 seconds more. Okay. Shh. Okay, can I have your attention, please? Shh. Yep, can I have your attention, please? Yep. Can you be quiet for a moment, please, everybody? this is the noisiest, funnest group. You just have too much fun. Okay, shh. Yeah, that's good. Okay, if you're experiencing any change in your body, would you wave your hands in the air so we can see what's happening? Look around. Look around at that. That's incredible. Whoa, Jesus. Woo. Yeah, we celebrate what you're doing, God. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. If you are like 80% or more better, would you wave your hands if you can tell that? Whoa, look at that. Look at these. Oh, okay. If you'd like to be 80% or more better, raise your hand. Okay, come on. So when you see that these guys are getting breakthrough, when you celebrate their breakthrough becomes your breakthrough. So let's all celebrate right now. Woo, Jesus, yes, thank you. Woo, yes. Yeah, woo, all right. Okay, who needs a little push more, a push over into 100%? Anybody? Okay, who needs more? Okay, well, let's just do another quick... hit them with another quick ministry time. Just command that stuff to go. Pour in the good stuff. Pour out the bad stuff. Sometimes you have to drain the bad stuff out the bottom, like you, when you're draining the oil out of your truck. Drain it out and then pour the good stuff back in. Just go ahead and minister to them for about 30 seconds more. Just go ahead. Pour some more in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Okay, go ahead and test it out. It doesn't take long. Just check it out and see what's happening. You know, looking for any kind of improvement. Yep. Thank you, Jesus. Yep. Thank you that things are getting better. Yep. Thank you. Okay, can I ask you all to sit down, go back to your seats for a moment? That's fun. Okay, go ahead and go back to your seats. And even in your seats, just keep checking out and seeing what's changing. Do you want to get ready just to take a quick video? Because I'm going to take, yeah. Okay. Yeah, go ahead and have a seat for just a moment. We're going to check things out, and then we're going to do something else. Because he's not done yet. Okay, if you received improvement in, you know, either of those prayer times, you know, any improvement in your body, would you just stand up and wave your hands? We want to celebrate what God's doing. Woo! Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I want to do one more thing. If you received, wait, Josh, Joshua, you stay there. If you received improvement any time this weekend from any times of prayer, would you just stand up and wave your hands, because we want to glorify God with everything he's doing. Oh, come on. That's just amazing. Woo! Jesus. That is absolutely incredible. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So is there anybody tonight that, you know, you've had like 80% or more improvement and you could just give us a quick testimony? Okay. Christian, you want to run the mic back to the gentleman in the blue plaid shirt? Yep, right there.
I've been,
Yeah, whack him, Christian. Get him funny.
8 years of pain in my shoulder, and as a pinched nerve. I've been praying and seeking, and oh man, Lord.
Who? Feeling better?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, here's the gentleman right in the middle here.
1988, I was working in the woods in western Montana.
That was before you were born.
And on the way out from the job, I was climbing over some trees. The bark was loose on the tree. My feet slipped out from underneath me, and I came down from about 14 feet off the ground with my arm, right arm fully extended, and the full force came into that shoulder. And it's caused me pain for 34 years, and the pain is gone.
Oh! Woo! Jesus, 34 years. Oh, come on. Okay, somebody else? Somebody else? One more? We like to hear testimonies.
Oh, yes, I like this one.
Well, I just got home from Virginia Mason Hospital, and they pronounced pancreatic cancer, but after tonight, I feel stronger, and my back pain is left.
Woo! So come on! Woo, woo, woo! That's awesome. Hey, if you need a new organ, like a pancreas or anything like that, would you just stand up? We just might as well get some new organs in. New heart, new pancreas, new, you know, whatever it is you need. We really did this. We yep. Yep. Oh, shoot. New brain. Oops, there's a lot of hands went up. Oh! Okay. Yep. Well, we're just going to get in the elevator here to the third heaven, if that's okay. Just step in the elevator door right now, okay? And there's three, you know, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. You know, you don't, the first heaven, you got to go to the hospital and you know, for a new organ. We don't want that one right now, thanks. Second heaven, that's, you know, that's the atmosphere around the earth. The prince of the power of the air is there. You don't want to mess with him. Third heaven, oh, the throne of God. Whew. Yep, just push number three. Going up. Whoop. Ding! Elevator doors open. Step on out. Here you are in the third heaven. You know, there's just shelves of body parts there for replacement. Just reach up and find what you want. You know, new pancreas, new heart, new brain, whatever it is, new eyeballs, you know, just boop. Go ahead and take him and put him in. Just plug him right in. Yep, he's got new parts for you. I know this sounds ridiculous, but we're just going in heaven in awe and wonder. And watch what he does. Okay, just put it in. Plug it in. Y'all good? Okay, you can push number one, come on back down if you want. I mean, some people like to stay up there. Come on back down to earth and yeah, just watch what happens. Watch the condition change. Yep, we declare brand new. Yep, for everybody who needs new body parts, we just declare an outpouring of the grace of God. Yep, making all things new. You know, I had a condition in the heart. I don't know, it was something, I don't know what it was, but that this doctor said that because I like to climb mountains and stuff like that, he said, one of these days you're going to be climbing up this mountain, you're going to drop dead. I did not receive that word, but it kind of resonated in my head. I'm climbing this mountain one time, and I'm thinking of that guy's word, and I'm going, you know, I'm at the top, going up the top where it's the hardest, and there's no oxygen, and, you know, it's 14,250-foot mountain, and all of a sudden, the verse from Psalms came through to me. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I just began singing, God is the strength of my heart as I climbed the mountain. I'm still here, and that was when I was 30 years old. Ha! He's still the strength of my heart. Yep, and so for your, he's the strength of your heart, he's the strength of your liver, he's the strength of your brain. God is the strength of your body. Yep, and the Holy Spirit in you gives life to your mortal body by his Spirit. So we, right now, we just draw on the life of heaven, the life of God. We just, that Zoe life of heaven, we say, yes, please. Yeah, more of your life. Yeah, those ladies are getting Christian wrecked. Just, yeah, show no mercy. Oh. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Yep. Yep, we release the more of heaven to you guys. Yep. Yep. Yep, just receive the breath of heaven. Yeah, we cancel assignments, cancel diagnoses. Yep. Yep, and we write that prescription pad, one miracle for you. Yep, it's a prescription that says one miracle. It's just for you. Yep. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are the God of miracles, and you're the God of miracles to us, toward us. Yep, your merciful kindness is great towards us. Yep, your love is great towards us. Your healing power is great towards us. Yep. The peace of your presence is great upon us. Yep. We just blow off all of the anxieties and frustrations that go along with sickness and disease and pain. Yep, we just blow them off. You can dust them off your shoulders, lift them off your head. Yep, all of those things. Yep, they're not gifts from God. Bye-bye. Yep. And we just release a new hope, a brand new peace, a peace that goes beyond understanding. It's now going to guard our minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. A new peace, a new hope. Yeah, that hope, it's like an anchor, anchoring us to the mercy seat. Yeah. A little bit of joy is coming in too. Look out. Look out, you might get happy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Uh-oh. I think we're going over the edge. Yep. There's going to be some joy. Oh, my goodness. Yep. Starting to get funny over here. Yay! Oh, my goodness. Yep, maybe we just stick our heads in the barrel again. Ho! Yeah, we need to take a little drink of the Holy Spirit. Yep. Uh-oh. Yeah, there's a big old barrel of Holy Spirit right in front of you. So we're just going to do a prophetic act. Go ahead and stick your head in and go. Take a big drink. I think you better do that again. Yep. So there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yep. There's more joy than you know. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. So all that good stuff he says in the Bible, it's so that his joy will go in us. Yeah, maybe we need to help this lady. She looks like she's having a hard time. So maybe I'll just come over and help this couple. They look like they really need help. Hello! Oh! They're funny. Oh, dear. Boop! Guys, you better. Joshua, David, Christian, you better just go around and help some of these people. They need help. Oops. Jesus. Whoop. Beep. Oh. Oh, Jesus. Whoops. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, help him. Help him there. She's going to help you. She's going to help you. Boop. Oh. Oh, yes. Ho. Ho. Woo. Oh, Jesus. I surrender. Oh. Oops. You're the one he loves. It's you. Oh, yes. Get this mighty man. Hi. Boom.
Amen. Amen. Oh, hello. Amen. Hello.
Oh.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh. Hi. God likes Susie. Ha! Oh! Whoop! Oh, Jesus. Oh, bumping him up. Ha. Boop. Oh. Oh, Jesus. You guys should just kind of mess each other up a little bit. Yeah. You all got heaven inside of you. Just go around and mess each other up. Boom. Oops. Fasten your seatbelt. Boop. Beep, 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 beep. Ho. Ha. Oh. Yeah, just reach out and touch your neighbor a little bit and get the current flowing through the building. Ho. Jesus. Woo. Yep. Yep. Oh my. Ha. Boop. Yes. Ha. Woo. Yep. Oh, Jesus. Woo. Yes. Oh my. Yep. Yes. Yep. More, 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 more. More, more, more. Whoop. Ha. Ho. Yes. Woo. Yep. Oh, Jesus. Boop. Ha. Yep. Get this mighty one here. Ho. Yep. Beep, beep. Ho. Ha. Ho. Whoop. Beep. somebody's under there. I thought somebody was under there. I felt somebody touching me, but I couldn't find him. Whoop, whoop. Woo, yep. Ho. Whoop. Oh, bless you. Bless you. Yes, take it. Oh, Jesus, yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. The answer is yes. It's everywhere you go, it's yes. You've come out of the land of no and into the wide open places of the yes of God. Yes, yes, yes. Woo, yep, yep. Yep, fill up these mighty ones. Oh. Uh-oh, look out. Oh. Oh. Oh, Jesus. Woo. Jesus. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Blessing on you.
My son's one of your students.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Sam Stevens.
Okay. I'd have to see a picture of him, but I probably know him. Well, good. Bless you. Ho! Uh-oh, look out. Oops, you catching him, right? Ho. Jesus. Whew. Yep. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. Whew. Yep. How you doing? Good, good.
Am I right, Walmart?
Get him. Boom. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you get to mop up. The mic's all yours. Uh-oh. Where'd the mic go? Nope, it's not up here. Oh, here it is. Here we got it. Josh has a message for us. Here, Christian, let's help him. Boop, 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 boop. We're here to help you. Boom, 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 boom. Uh-oh, she's going to take off.
Man. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. We thank you, Jesus. Come on. Oh, Jesus. Yes. Come on. I don't know what to say. Just take it. Just take it. Take it everywhere you go. Come on. May the laughter never stop. May the joy never stop. Come on. We just thank you for the anointing, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wreck us, God. Come on. We just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Man, at some point we're going to turn the lights off, but until we do, just continue to just pour out and love on. We're done for the night. We're not done tonight, but I'm going to turn this off and just you may leave as you need to, but just release the joy as you go out. I hope that you were filled to overflowing, and so we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. It was awesome.